Hello, welcome to episode number 291 of the Apologue Podcast. I am your host, Simon Head. Today's podcast is brought to you in part by AIXDSP.com. Get affordable and useful plugins for your digital audio workstation. Get the IC Intuition Compressor. It's a compressor that gives you a clear and intuitive visual display that shows exactly what's happening to your audio at all times. Click the link in the description for more information. Amazon shoppers, shop on Amazon, support the show. Click on the link in the description. Go to apologue.ca also to click on the banner located on the right side. Bookmark the link, and every time you shop on Amazon, you will be supporting the show. It's going to cost you an extra money. No extra money. No extra money, I said. I said good day. Support my work on Patreon by going to patreon.com/apologue and pledge as much or as little as you want on a monthly basis to help with hosting and gas fees, and you can cancel at any time. Go buy some merch at the apologue.ca/shop. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, please. Give it 5 stars. Like and share on Facebook by going to facebook.com/apologuepod. Follow me on Twitter at SimonHead666. Today in the show, I have Mr. Patrick LeBay, who didn't like the festival scene in Quebec, so we went out and started his own. Him and a bunch of friends started the festival called Le Focoff. It's exactly what it sounds, but actually, you'll get the explanation. It just sounds funny because it's French. And yearly, they've been doing it since 2017, and this year is obviously going to be a new way of doing it. It's going to be one of the most advanced virtual events, I think, that anybody's ever really going to see in a long time. And I think it might set the precedent of how virtual events are going to be held in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, and you know, I loved this conversation we had. It was fresh. It was good. It was nice. There wasn't a lot of talk of the plague. And I really appreciate him being on the show and taking the time to do that. The festival starts, I believe, in a couple of weeks, week or so. So if you're listening to this now, that, like in 2022, you missed it. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Patrick LeBay on the Apologue Podcast. Yeah. You know, pardon me, but how do you pronounce the festival name again?
How did you say that?
How do you pronounce the festival's name?
It's, that's funny, actually. It's called Le Fuck Off.
Yeah. I didn't want to be presumptuous and go, yeah.
But, yeah, it's, basically in French, it means seal off, but, you know. You know what it means.
Yeah. If you wanted to swear in French, it'd be the Tabernakoff.
Sorry?
If you wanted it to be a real French swear festival, it'd be the Tabernakoff.
Yeah, exactly. It would be the Tabernakoff, but it, you know, in French, it's not the same.
No, I know.
The fuck off doesn't mean what it means for you guys, actually.
It doesn't even, you know, it doesn't really mean that much to me anyways, these days anyways. At all. So, great. So you, when did you started this festival? How long ago? Sorry, what? You just cut out. Hello?
You.
Hey, sorry, you cut out there.
Okay, wait a second. I'm gonna, I don't hear you well. Wait a second. Is that better?
That's better.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Let's do this. So, yeah, how do you want to do that? Is it like a 15, 30, 45, 60 minutes?
As long as you want. As long as you want. If you're a busy guy, we could go 20, 30 minutes and, you know, I'd be content if you are.
Well, I'm okay if you're okay. I'm like, I'm going to take the time that you need. I'm glad to be with you. There's no problem with that.
That's good, because I did one with a band once, and they're like, we're loading in 10 minutes, so let's get this over with. Made me feel real special. So I gave them 10 minutes. They look like assholes, so it was great.
Well, if you want me to give you 10 minutes, we can do that.
That would be funny. That would be very funny. But I would, that'd be very, no, listen. No. So what makes one want to start a festival? And how long ago did you start it?
Well, I started this festival back in 2015. The first edition was in 2015. But it was created in my mind in 1 year earlier, exactly 12 months earlier. We were actually, the story of the festival actually is that I'm an artist. I was a drummer and singer-songwriter in a metal hardcore band called Never More Than Less. And we toured a lot from early 2000 till 2018, around that. And I was in that scene. Like, we were touring in the Vans Warped Tours and all these kinds of venues and the Alexis on Fire era and then all these kind of bands, you know.
Yeah.
And when I was touring in Europe and I was coming back in Quebec, I was like, why all of these bands that we're touring with that are from home tours with us in Europe or States or rest of Canada, but don't even have a recognition in Quebec? I didn't understand that, actually. I was like, there's something's wrong. It couldn't be possible. And then I've heard that there was, we were noticing it, actually. We knew that there were two industries, actually, two music industries. There was that main, that main French industry and that alternative industry that was already working with you guys in Ontario and elsewhere in Canada and elsewhere in the world. And we were like, that's to us, it felt like it was the real industry, the real world was there. And we were, we wondered why we couldn't even add discussions with the people that were organizing different awards or controlling medias or anything here in Quebec. There was that closed industry for that French part of Canada, and we were wondering, and we kind of saw that there was that conference in February that's called Rideau. And it's basically, imagine that as a conference, maybe like Canadian Music Week.
Yeah.
But for the music venues only in Quebec, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we were there. I was there. I became an agent in 2012 when I launched my management agency and my booking agency. And I've been to Rideau like three years in a row. And it was so long, you know, there nothing happened in that conference. I was like, nothing happened. Like, all the things I knew and that I felt was real wasn't there.
Was it not music based enough, or was it too industry? Like, what was the reasoning?
It was, actually, it's a, multi pluridisciplinal, how do you say that? It's like multi art.
Yeah,
so it's
not just music then.
Yeah, exactly. So it's theater, dance, music, circus, all these kind of things. Like, it's for the live scene, actually, but for all the forms of arts. And we were attending that, and the music part was only like a French singer songwriters, and there were none of the new kind of sounds and noise that we were used to in the big festivals and the tours. And like all our friends that were living from their music were living from their music outside of Quebec. And yeah. we didn't understand that, and there was none of that in that specific conference. So after 3 years, we were kind of we didn't wanted to go there anymore. So we just gave we were in a show and decided to go off to a bar instead. Mm-hmm. And we were a bunch of guys in the same background as me, and mm-hmm. we just like for the fun fact just took a scotch glass and told to each other, fuck off, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were like, yeah. that we should start a festival that's called Fuck Off to protest and to make people and all these venues and all this industry to make them see what's really happening out there, like.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to create bridges, because we were already working, like, we never saw that there were two industries. Mm-hmm. We always worked with like CMW and North by Northeast in Toronto and mm-hmm. and all these different labels across Canada, and we didn't felt it was the right way to do it. Like, we didn't understood why we should work and see the music business as being two different worlds, because yeah. music is in the, to us, it's an international language, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we were like, who cares if you sing in French or English or Spanish? I don't give a damn. You know, you must, if it's good, you just got to play it and promote it and put it out there and stop trying to put on French singer songwriters in front for grants or different like commercial ideas. So we wanted to make it to make music free, and all these we wanted to include all the different sceneries, like the English people in Montreal that were not recognized in the Quebec scene, that mm-hmm. we were like, these are our bros, these are our brothers, our sisters, they shouldn't be like tossed away, or we felt they should be in our club, you know.
Yeah,
because they were already in our club, but the real club wasn't letting us in, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you know, I thought of a few things while you were talking. I feel that being sort of set up in your own sort of music area, like being Quebec or Canada, it's really, and you gain a little bit of success, or it's really hard to sort of break out into other areas based on the fact that you have it good where you're from. And I think what you're doing is trying to bridge the gap between international success and local success.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the bridge, like, we want to create and build bridges between all the communities, actually, mm-hmm. and all the different genres. Because, you know, like, to us, it's kind of insane in the same city. For example, sometimes like rap artists doesn't speak to punk rock artists, but basically this is the same business, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should work together. You're always
stronger,
better together, yeah. and stronger together. Mm-hmm. And that's how you create a local scene, and then that's how you create bridges with elsewhere in Canada or elsewhere in America or internationally, you know.
Yeah.
And basically what we are trying to say and create is we have to work together, no matter what's your where you come from, if you're I don't know, a French dude in Manitoba or an English dude in Montreal or a punk rocker in Vancouver or a singer-songwriter like in the Mary, I don't know, an Indian, I don't know, you know, people like we're trying to work with right now we're trying to build bridges with Catalonia, with Barcelona, because mm-hmm. they have that kind of problem within their own country too. Like these are two kind of different regions, and they don't speak to each other.
Yeah, the Basque region, and the Spanish. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
and we were like, well, you don't have help from your side. We're gonna try to build bridges with you, and we're gonna try to help you guys on our side.
Yeah,
and like if people in Toronto wanna build bridges with us, we're gonna give them access to the bridges we created with Barcelona too. You know,
yeah,
we want to help everybody. We want to work with everybody. We don't want to. We don't want to create a scene that where everybody looks at each other like from higher grounds and like doesn't respect each other. Like it's always the same combat for everybody.
Yeah.
When you start.
Yeah. It used to be that way when I was sort of a teenager. We had like punkers, metalers, stoners, preps, jocks. And now, like I have a 17-year-old son, there doesn't seem to be as much division with one's social understanding or music background. Like my son likes punk rock, he likes hip hop. There's no real boundary as to what music or what type of culture he can get himself into, because it's you know, that seems to me like such a positive way of looking at things. And you know, and I think what you're doing is you're following that trend of we're not worried about singer-songwriters being at the same club as metalers or as punk rockers, or you know, because when you understand the other side of someone's situation, you have a greater respect for not just theirs but your own, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And like all what he's struggling with, you're gonna struggle with.
Yeah, one. Just on a different level or a different type of struggle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like basically, if you can count on each other, you'll always find an answer, and you'll grow much faster. Actually.
Yeah.
And you'll grow out of the experience of the others around you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to build with that festival, actually, within the music scene, but within also the subjects we have. Like it's a the fuck off is and like I said earlier, it's seal off, but in French, so it's we say fuck off in Quebec. But you know, it's a way of living, actually. It's a vibe, mm-hmm. you know. That's why everybody's included. There's mm-hmm. it's a diversity opened festival
mm-hmm.
with the music in the background, you know?
Yeah.
And we use music as a form of communication and a form of expression. And we feel that everybody actually in that scene should put out there what they think and how they should, how they create actually their careers.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, this year we're going to have a full on program with the SOCAN, and we're going to explore different ways that artists achieved international success. So how they made it in Africa, how they made it in Asia, how what's the the case study of a specific artist. Like we're going to explore that. We're going to also explore different things about the social vision in our industry. You know, for years there's been like cliches of the groupies and all these backstage things, and there's been a lot of Me Too things going on in the last years, and all these harassment, call outs and everything. So we're gonna have a program that actually we speak about like diversity from genres, like sexual identity. We're gonna talk about the diversity in the music, the commercial radios, like how can natives not represented in the music, like the commercial radios, how can these radios not promote punk rock or electronic music from Canada? I don't know for you, but for myself, I just can't listen to commercial radio.
Oh no,
nope. There's nothing there that's worth me to, that's worth listening to. You know,
nope, can't do it. Can't do it.
and that's the problem. Like, who are they talking to?
I don't know.
Who's listening to them, actually? I don't fucking... Sorry for the...
No. Swear to
you. I don't know anybody that listens to radio.
Yeah. So how do you get it back? Like, how do you get the radio back when it's so mired with old ways of thinking when it came to repetition and, you know, an industry, that industry? Nobody, you know, the good thing about it is nobody really cares about to get on the radio anymore. I mean, that's the only redeeming thing about it. Problem is that this media is there, which could be completely used for the benefit of art and music, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's just sitting there.
That's what we're saying, but exactly. Like, for example, if gives me good music, I'm going to listen to that radio show, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't have anything in that radio show, so give me a reason to listen to it in the first place.
Yeah.
And since there's nothing to listen to, who's listening to it?
There's a radio station, the CFNY in Toronto, and I got a different car, which didn't have Sirius in it, and I'm driving on the road, and I did 2 days of CFNY, and I heard every single song, not just from like the common, like the hit songs, but I heard all the songs I listened to 8 years ago when I had a car without Sirius satellite, you know? It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's kind of stuck in time, you know? Kind of we're still in... If you listen to a specific radio station, probably you're stuck in like 1994.
Yeah.
And the other one, you're stuck in 1976.
Yeah.
And like, it's kind of where's the new music, man?
Yeah.
Well, where is it?
The problem is that with the age of streaming with Spotify and Apple Music and whatnot, is people can make their own radio stations. And although that sounds on this outside as being kind of like a positive thing, it necessarily isn't, because when someone makes like a specific playlist to influence music and push it forward, that seems to get pushed to the back with the Spotifys. There's playlists, but there's not influencing, like, you know, it tries. Like, I'll listen to a record and then it starts throwing songs at the end of it going, hey, maybe you like that, you know? So it tries to sway, you know? But it's people are so used to having their own gratification of what they want to hear now. Like, I want to hear it now, you know? I don't want to wait for it to come on the radio. I think, unfortunately, radio is kind of like, it needs to make greatness and needs to bring it back. I mean, if you look at like movie theaters, there was a time in movie theaters, people were like, I'm not going there, because VHS had like killed the industry, but somehow they managed to bring it back, you know? And they made the places cool and they made it sound good and they gave, you know, good, you know, but they have to reinvent it. And who's going to do
exactly.
that?
Exactly. And you got to find its edge. Actually, I was working in a HMV back in the days, and I remember all my clients were coming to me and asking always, like, what should I listen to? Mm-hmm. Like, I was there I was their private, like.
Yeah, you're like the comic book guy. You're like,
Yeah. And I see myself in the festival industry as the same thing. You know, yeah. I think my role is the same, actually. And I think that the radio should have the same role too. Yeah. We're doing right now is actually we don't want to create playlists, but we want to make people see the name, give it a listen, and add that to their playlist. And
yeah,
and that's the use. Like when I was a teenager, like MTV and Much Music and Music Plus in Quebec was like, I was always plugged on that. Yeah. Always listening to that.
Now
always,
it's always, dead. Always. There's nothing. It just plays the Simpsons there, Much Music now.
Yeah, it's dead. But like, I remember there always were like two or three different guys that were like the ones that are bringing, like are talking about Jules.
Or new music.
Like,
yeah.
They find great artists, and nobody ever heard of these artists before, but like you kind of tend to listen to that dude in the radio or the music show on Much Music, and you know that this guy, if you listen to their 1 hour show, you're gonna at least find out a new band that you're gonna love listening for years, you know.
And
that's the key, actually. I think that's the role of the different festivals right now. That's the role of that should be the role, in my opinion, of the radio shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take that Tribune. Like, you have that space in the, like, you have the public space. Mm-hmm. Make that happen. You know, make people. Impress people, like bring them new things. Don't let them die in old stuff.
No. And they're still admired by old ways of thinking. For example, I'm working on a thing that I needed to get an old interview from Much Music, and Much Music is owned by Bell Media now. So I got in touch with this person. I said, I'd like to take an interview at this one point, and I found it on YouTube, and here's a clip of it. I said, yeah, sure, here's our rate sheet, here's how much it will cost you for the copyright of it. It was $25 a second, minimum 20 seconds. That's what it would cost me working on a nights and weekends project that needed some video footage from in the history, you know what I mean, like part of Canada's history. And they're going to charge me 25 cents a second for that. And there's like a service to go find it, because none of it's digitized. So there's a service, $100 an hour to look for it, $100 an hour to transfer it, and then what it was, $900 or $800-something for the 20 seconds. It's like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, what are you trying to do? You're not promoting Canadian, like, history or art or culture. You're gouging me. It's ridiculous.
Yes. like that's one of the, like, there's so many examples like that, you know. That's so frustrating, actually.
Yeah.
Like people like you said, it's kind of an ancient world and we're stuck in it.
Yeah. It's really advanced and very, very, very far behind. It's either or. It's not like moving along at a constant, you know, rate like everything else. You know, like when we got phones and computers nailed. Like, we got that part figured out. But when it comes to like the music business or the industry or how artists can benefit from being in an industry that's generally not really, you know, very full of money. Like, you know, it's like that part, let's, you know, screw that part of it. It doesn't matter. But well, let's all have nice phones and cool cars that drive themselves. And, you know, they might as well, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah. And well, the music business, as are all the content industry.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the medias and like the books, it's not the same because people are still, they still love books. Like,
yeah, people read.
It's kind of like the pure music lover still is gonna buy vinyls or
but
the music listener, the average music listener will never buy vinyls, you know?
They'll just, you know, you're right. And what you're saying is totally true. They're not going to take the risk of buying a whole record for the one song, maybe like the rest of the record. They're buying one song or taking one song from Spotify and enjoying it 100 times and not even trying to branch out.
Yeah. No, they won't listen to the whole art project that the artist put out there. Yeah. They're going to listen to that great song that they're vibing to. Mm-hmm. And that's all. And all the content creators have the same problem right now. They are being like robbed by the mainstream internet providers, actually. Mm-hmm. All the data, the data providers are the one actually that are making money with you guys, with everybody.
Yeah, true.
Like, you create the content, they let you put it out there, and people need that content, so they're ready to pay $50, $60, $100, $200 a month to have access to that content.
Yeah.
But they are never going to give it to you. They're going to give it to the provider.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's an interesting concept, you know, because, you know, we have SoCan and things like that for songwriting and mechanical and sort of royalties for performance royalties. But there's no real performance royalties for podcasts or for, you know, independent things that people do on their own, even though this might get played 1,000 times, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, based on the fact that, well, I'm not really advertising anything, so therefore would it really, but there is like a royalty paid, say if I had my song played in Sweden 5 years ago on a radio station, I get my 28 cents, whatever it is, for that. Like, that happens, you know?
Yeah, well, sometimes you wait, like, I know for a fact that sometimes you can wait 10, 20 years before you get your 28 cents royalty.
Oh, yeah.
The spinoff you got in Sweden.
It's crazy. I love it. I love the fact that you're like, you look at this SoCan statement, it's like, wow, $12. Where did all that come from? Like, how did I get that $12? Like, how did that work out? And I'm just surprised that it's like $12 and like nothing at all, you know? That's how people make their money most times, like it's from radio airplays and things like that.
Yeah. Well, and basically that's part of the debate, actually. When I was talking about the festival, and we're pointing out some different subjects that we think it's matters, you know?
Yeah.
And why we're bringing that diversity issue in the commercial radios is a little around that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people like the radios tells us they play music that people wants to hear, so they don't play music that we push them, you know, like the new artists give them.
Yeah.
So they play old school songs to please the mass people, you know.
Yeah.
And what's weird about this is that I don't know anybody that listens to radio. So where's the mass people? Where are they?
Yeah. You know? Well, that's true. You know, I think all they're worried about now is the commercial that's going to happen in between the fourth and eighth song or fourth and fifth song, that there's a commercial being played, you know?
But there's a commercial being played there, and that commercial is worth something if there's people listening to the radio.
That's true. That's true.
If nobody fucking listens to that radio because nobody cares about that music, what is it worth?
Yeah. Well, it used to be.
I just can't understand.
Yeah.
We're kind of a catch-22 there. We just can't get out of that circle, like that downward spiral that we're stuck in.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how old you are, but I remember in the late 90s, if you wanted to get a song on the radio, it's just you buy an advertising space. So your song's 3.5 minutes long. You're buying 6 radio spots or commercial spots to put your song on the radio. So anybody mm-hmm. could have their song on the radio. It's like it's a form of payola, but you could have your song on the radio. I don't know if that still works anymore. I don't know if people still, deal that way.
I started out, like, I was serious doing music. Like, I started maybe my band started in 99, but I was really into it maybe in 2004, 2005 yeah.
When the industry completely got ruptured.
Exactly. So I haven't seen that kind of practice in my life.
Yeah.
But you tell me about it, and I don't even, like, I'm pretty sure it happened,
Yeah.
You don't have to convince me. I'm sure it happened.
There's also used to be, like, in the early 90s, in the late 80s, is that you get a bottle of Jack Daniels sent to the A&R director, and underneath it is a little baggie of cocaine, and that's how you get your song on the radio. So which way is, like, more effective, I don't know. But yeah, it's like that's, and you think about what you're saying about the radio, it seems like it's still a little dirty. Like, maybe people have sort of just, society is like, it seems a little dirty for me to try to play the radio game, even though with the same project I'm working on, I got in touch with Alan Cross, who is like
Yeah.
And I asked him, I said, I'd find some interviews with him, with this band, and Dave Bookman. I was wondering if you could, and he's like, yeah, sure, I'll go look for it. So maybe it's a who you know thing, but that was my first connection with radio in, God, 20 years.
There's a huge part in the that's who you know, like, and it always been, and it always will be, I think.
Yeah,
like, that's part of the human behaviors, like the basic human behaviors, like that. I think.
Yeah, yeah,
and also like, people seek connection, specifically with music, so. You need to know the people or to feel the music. And when you feel the music, you want to feel the person too.
Yeah.
You need that connection, That's why we're so close to the artists.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah. And coming back to the festival, honesty and all of that, when you're just writing a song, it doesn't matter what genre it is, as long as you mean what you're singing or playing, And that, to me, is the common bond between music lovers and musicians, is that I'm ready to take a trip with someone who has nothing really to say, but has a great way of delivering what they say. That's me personally.
Exactly.
And I think that's how honesty in music can be the new, the new way of appreciating it. And it seems like that's the way it is, And just based on what my son is listening to and how he's influenced by music, and it's pretty awesome, actually. I feel very confident that our future of music lovers will be very broad in their reach of where they want to listen to music and how they want to listen to it.
Yeah, well, they really want to connect with, like you said, with genuine creators and people that have something to say and feel it and really thinks what they sing about.
Yeah. And that's all we got right now. Like, that's all we have. That's all we have right now. Like, we have great ways of making records. You can make it in your basement on your laptop. It's now what you're saying is just dig in now and mean what you say,
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, if you want to make a twist, that's basically what we're doing with that festival,
Yeah.
That's why it's called Fuck Off,
Yeah.
It's kind of the, we were like that, that commercial and that industry thing. We don't belong to that.
Mm-hmm.
We want to feel something. We want to create things. We want to work with people genuinely, and we want to let them be who they are. We don't want to make them be something that we want them to be.
Yeah. Well, that's inspiring. I appreciate you doing something like that, because it's you know, our economic situation these days is everybody's having a tough time, and buying music is not a thing that, you know, people will really want to do. And let's not get into the C word right now, because this is the one of the second time, I think, in 6 months I've had an interview without talking about the C word. So for that, I appreciate it.
Yeah, we are. You know, we don't want to talk about it, and that's why we're still doing it, even though it happened, you know?
Yeah, and it's virtual, right? You're doing it virtual, obviously.
Yeah, well, we just can't do it any other way.
Yeah.
This year, but like I was talking about genuine things.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we do. And that's the basic thing. So that's why we've decided to create all the professionals that are going to be in our platform. We have, like I said earlier, it's a music festival for alternative and like emergent and like new brands, new kind of music.
Yeah.
And like, we always worked on that connection between the artist and the public, and the artist and the other, like the industry, but the alternative industry. So and we want, like I said earlier, we want to build bridge, and we want to make them know each other, feel each other, create together. And what was our main focus this year is that, like, we wanted to create shows that were really that had that storytelling, that quality of production that gave the public that connection.
Yeah.
So we worked a lot and invest a lot on creating these videos, these shows. And for the conference part of it, we actually built two different platforms. Like one platform is gonna be more of a private Facebook, if you wanna picture it easily in your head. It's kind of a private Facebook, so when you're a pro, you have your badge. You enter a virtual community where you can talk to everybody. You can promote your artists, your ideas. You can participate easily to different panels, like if you were in the real festival, you know.
Yeah.
And we've worked a lot like crazy on this, but we actually achieved something that we're pretty proud of, is that we wanted, like I said, to create that, to give people a sense of connection.
Yeah.
Even though we're, I don't know for Ontario right now, but here in Quebec, we're in curfew. So at 8 p.m., we just can't go outside anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of weird. It's not even human to see and connect with people. Never.
Yeah.
For a year. And specifically for people in that business.
We need it. Yeah.
We need it. And that's all we know.
Yeah.
That's what we do in life. Connect with people.
Yeah.
And we were like, we just can't do an event without connection. We must find something, even though the situation is hard this year. We must find new ways, and that's why we actually achieved to create a virtual reality worlds where you're gonna, like, people are gonna convert into avatars, and like picture it as a free Zoom, like a Zoom conference. Everybody's gonna be their own avatar with their video on the avatar, and the most, like, you can walk in that in the world, see people, talk to people, hear them. The more you're close to someone, the more you hear them, more you see them. If they're behind you, you don't see them, but if they're close, you hear them. If they're on your right, you're gonna hear them on your right, and that's all. And we're gonna project shows in these worlds, you know. So it's kind of it gives the real feel of a festival. Actually, you can feel it's the same that if you were in a big festival with a huge stage,
yeah,
and you decide to be, if you're close to the stage, you're going to listen, you're going to hear the show, and the sound will be louder than the people around you. And if you're very far off the stage, you're going to be able to chat with your friends and actually connect with pure strangers like you would in the real life.
Yeah. You know, the good thing about that is that generally people are sort of in their own little bubbles, so they have their little friends and that they go to the festival with. The good thing about this is that there's going to be no inhibitions about just looking at someone going, hey, how you doing, you know. And because there's no real, like, you know, you don't even make a complete fool out of yourself. It's like, moving on. You know what I mean? Like the sort of being anonymous in the internet, you can use that to your advantage to break barriers. Absolutely.
Exactly. And that what's cool about that is, for example, I don't know you at all, but maybe you have a brother living in Switzerland,
yeah,
for example, and that could be a
how did you
great
know
idea.
Just kidding.
And maybe you could watch that show
together
with your friend,
with
your brother,
yeah,
you know?
What are you using for the platform? Are you using Facebook, because Facebook has a pretty deep virtual reality foothold?
Well, no, we've worked with a Montreal company that's called Float4, mm-hmm. And with them, we actually got in touch with a new platform that is going to be released, I think, in the next weeks, probably next week, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be one of the first to actually use it. And it's called Nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that platform actually creates worlds, like virtual worlds, and you can actually like I said, you can put on shows there, or conferences, or you can have like, for example, we could do the interview together right now in that platform, and people could watch it there.
Incredible. Are you using like 360 degree cameras in the venue, kind of thing, to allow the person to be in the room, or like what's
That was what we wanted and we intended to do, mm-hmm. and we almost got there, but we lacked time, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know how it costs to do that and how much time it does.
I couldn't imagine.
But like for a punk spirited festival like ours, even though we play all kind of music, like we're roots in our vibe and our thinking, and like this year our budget is kind of it's 1,000 more than ever, you know.
Of course
it's 1,000 times what it was last year, and we have 30 bands instead of 125 bands.
right
But like creating nice stuff for the virtual platforms are so much more expensive, actually.
Yeah. Well, but, I think this is the future, especially because I work at a theater that has 600 seats. What would be great is to be able to open it up to the world to say, hey, we're doing this, and people can tune in and watch the show and sit in a seat and hang out with their buddy. And I mean, it's almost kind of possible right now with whatever the Facebook Spaces, I think it's called. But we need to ramp it up, you know, because people are getting schooled on how to be a virtual person in a virtual world. I mean, if anything we can take out of this experience we've been having is that we can learn new ways to entertain people and new ways to bring art and culture and humans are awesome because when something like this thing happens, you can just, oh, that's nothing, you know, because what you're talking about, the punk rock ethic, you're always finding out a way, you know what I mean? Even if you use the van as a metaphor, the van always seems to get to the gig. The van always seems to get you home. That's punk rock.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And well, actually, and you were talking about like the new generation and all your kid actually listens to music and all you have faith in them. But
yeah,
what counts right now is not the music genre, but actually the vibe.
Yeah,
what it means. And actually, I think the world should be like that. You know, that's my vision of the world.
Yeah.
You just gotta be true to yourself, and if you keep being genuine with what you do, and what you listen to, and what you are with people around you, well, things are gonna be great, you know.
And
to me, it's punk as fuck, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of vision and like being true is punk.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah. No. I totally agree. It'd be fun to be able to change the world. You know, as I get older, I find it harder to sort of like conceptualize what I can do to make the world a better place. You know, mm-hmm. And it's tough to conceptualize because you think, well, I've done all I can do. You know, like, but then no, mm-hmm. you never stop doing that. And I always use the road and driving as metaphors. And you can really determine a society by just driving down the 401. You know, you see people are cutting people off and people driving too fast and riding up your ass and doing things that they're not supposed to be doing that's dangerous. But that's society. Society moves just like that. And how are you going to change that? You can't change these people's, but you can change their kids' point of view and maybe change the younger generation. I mean, I know Europe did it. Europe did it like back in the late 90s, and where they stopped worrying about mid 30 and 40 year old losers, and they basically focused on the young, and it paid off. They did, you know. They find an old army barrack and they put a skate park in there and a live venue, and next thing you know, they've changed that whole community for the better. You know, we can do that. We can do that. Totally do that.
Absolutely, but you just have to keep the focus on that, though.
Yeah,
you have to remind it to you all the time, because it's so easy to become lazy and just like you said, like I did what I could. Like it's too late. I'm okay. I did my part. Like it's easy to go going that direction, you know.
Yeah, totally, totally.
And that's I think it resumes a problem with our society, actually. Yeah. Most of people just give up.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
That's weird. Like people just complains about how they didn't do that and how come this guy or this girl got this or that instead of them.
Yeah.
Well, the difference is that they didn't give up and you did.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Thing. That's the world. I always find it on the other side of it. I always find it awesome. Like I work at a theater. We're performing arts theater. I find it so cool where a guy or a girl will come through the door as like a tech or as a musician. And I knew them back in, you know, the quote unquote punk days, you know, and here we are now 30 years later. We're, you know what I mean? We're part of the industry. We're working from within now. So that type of ethic, when it comes to working in a corporate situation, not despite the fact that, you know, all the punkers or the people who had our ethics and still have them, they're inputting into society now. Like they're buying houses and having children. And that's positive because you know them from before and what type of person they are. And generally there's always just a little bit of that person still there. And they might've changed a little bit, put on a few pounds, lost some hair, but there's still that, there's the grain of that person who you knew, yeah. You know what I mean? And here we are looking across a desk from each other, having a meeting, you know, it's like, that's cool. I think that's great. Bring it on.
Absolutely. And that's, well, the key is to remind us that to ourselves and to remind them that they're coming from that space, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you never forget where you come from, I think the future is bright.
Yeah.
But you don't have to, you can't spit on what you were and where you come from.
That's a great way absolutely to look at it. And that's a good way to end off. And that's a tight 10 minutes we got there. Yeah. It's going to be tough to edit down, though. I really do. I really appreciate folks like yourself that stick it out and keep doing it and want to make change and also want to keep going on. It's tough, man. I get it.
It's a struggle. It's an everyday struggle for the last 20 years, but you know, you got to keep on going. You just can't stop.
Yeah.
Can't stop, won't stop, man.
Yeah. Well, it was really nice to meet you, man. And all the best of luck. And I hope let's keep this going though. You know, whenever you want to come on this show, the door is always open. You got my info, please. Without hesitation, let me know.
All right. It was a pleasure.
Okay, brother.
Seriously.
Yeah, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Yes. Take care. Bye-bye.
And that was Mr. Patrick LeBay. Another episode done. 2021. What do you know? Hello, 2021. Good to see you. How you been? Did you grab a chair? Yeah, you gonna stick around? Okay, good. Good to see you. That was a fun episode. I really enjoyed that. It was good to talk to somebody who I've never met before. Yeah, it's good to know. I love doing the podcast for that reason. Meeting new people, connecting with new people. It's been very, very helpful, and I appreciate it. And I also appreciate the fact when someone doesn't need to talk about the plague all the time. That's what I do appreciate. Anyways, next week, what's happening? I don't know what's happening between now and the next couple of weeks or months. What can I say? I don't know anything. So next week, there'll be somebody on the show, or the week after, you know, because it's been kind of going every other week lately. Maybe we'll see you next week. Maybe we'll see you the week before. I think I have a special episode coming up. I haven't taped it yet. Fairmont's put out a new record last December. So what we're going to try to do is get everybody together in a video chat and do a listening party so you can hear the album that we recorded 2 years ago. And maybe enjoy it. Maybe go out and buy it. Okay. See you next week. Bye.